All right, so it's welcome back to the Nerdcast, Season 4, Episode 32. Coming at you from our individual location for a second time. We actually got a little bit of positive feedback from the last recording. I know we're going through some obstacles, some testing of the audio, but it seemed like we didn't lose our, what's the word I'm looking for, hostility towards each other? Is that about right?
No, never did.
Playful.
Arjuna se qua, if you will.
So the video won't be shared full time again, but so if you can't, so obviously you can't see us. So for everybody needs to know, Adam, Bob, Aaron, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, are all here. We are recording
video.
Yeah, recording some video, so hopefully we can get some clips to kind of tease out you with, mess with y'all's brains and stuff. But the goal is, of course, to have this video going on season 5. And we did just see Dr. Beth roam behind one of the cameras.
Maybe.
So, how's everybody doing?
Spectacular.
Doing good.
Good.
Super good. I'll be positive if nobody wants to be positive.
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
All right. a lot of big things. I mean, we should probably just dive right in because there are tons of things to talk about. But I do want to throw a curveball and start the topic off with something that y'all may not be expecting. So I don't know, Tyler, I don't know, did you watch Last Week Tonight for this week's episode yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably know then when I start getting moving on this where I'm going.
You want to talk about chicken farmers?
No. I was going to talk about Johnny Depp in Australia filming the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And I don't even remember what his name is, some weird name, but an Australian politician was upset because Johnny Depp snuck his two dogs in on his private jet and didn't have them quarantined. So the gentleman, I guess we can call him that, threatened Johnny Depp to either get his dogs out in 50 hours or they would be euthanized.
What?
Yes.
It's true. Yeah.
It's two little terriers. The story, I guess, I didn't know about it till I watched Last Week Tonight, but I guess it was blowing up everywhere last week because they even had countdowns on websites to see whether the dogs would get out or not. But the guy like said, I don't even remember some of the stuff that he quoted him saying it was ridiculous.
I feel like you're missing the best part of the whole thing. Like,
are you going to say it? The quotes or whatever?
No, yeah. Just say the guy's name.
What was his name again?
The Senator Barnaby Joyce.
Yeah. Barnaby just Joyce.
Somerset.
And, he was on I did listen to the clip where he was on a radio show in Australia, radio DJ called him a wanker for this. He said he was a silly wanker or something like that. That was pretty great. But yeah, he kind of threatened. He got a little angry about the dogs too. Like, he threatened it pretty hard too. It was kind of a funny story when I read it, especially when you get it from John Oliver's perspective on Last Week Tonight. So,
but you know, so the thing is that that's true. I know in Hawaii, you have to quarantine your dogs, I think, like 6 months.
What?
You cannot bring a dog in unless it's quarantined for like 6 months.
There's a lot of countries and areas that'll do that. There's a lot of European countries that will make you do that. Usually, though, you know, you have exceptions. I know when military travel and move to European bases, they can get shorter spans and everything. But yeah, Johnny Depp brought him over in the private jet, so snuck him around. And I guess it was... I think they said it was like 6 to 8 weeks it was supposed to be out there. I can't remember what they were saying. Again, if you have a chance to, if you have access to HBO, you either borrow somebody's HBO Go or you actually have HBO, which 90% of us borrow somebody's HBO Go. That's just the way it works nowadays. don't worry, they encourage it. You should definitely get the story from John Oliver's perspective.
Well, I mean, to me, the thing is you know, there is...
Tyler is sharing a picture of Barnaby. That's quite entertaining.
A little psycho, man.
Well, I think he's going over the top with it, but in the end, like, I love Johnny Depp, but he's breaking the law. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's why, you know, it was so funny. That's why, because he goes, when he says it doesn't matter if you're a famous actor who's been, what did he say, People's Magazine Sexiest Man Alive twice. It doesn't matter if that's who you are.
Right. No. So like, I'm sure this guy's, he's definitely going way over the top with it, which, you know, is fine. Heck, is it an election year down in Australia? Maybe he's trying to get elected, you know, who knows, but either way,
he didn't win over the people with it.
I think he should. He's enforcing laws. This should be an okay thing. He may be doing it the wrong way, but you know.
Yeah, but yeah. He's probably a big weirdo. That's why everybody's like,
Did you see the picture Tyler just shared?
Exactly.
The other thing is if there's one country that has a right to be a little bit weird about this kind of stuff, it's Australia. Partially because it's an isolated island, you know, country, but they've had serious issues in the past because of, you know, non-native species being introduced. Look up like when rabbits came with the huge problem.
Yeah,
they got to the point where they were having like just millions and millions. They purposely had to introduce a virus in the 1950s to like just try and kill off rabbits as fast as they could to get them out of the country.
Know how quick rabbits reproduce.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's where the joke comes from for the most part, is because of what it did to Australia's ecosystem.
What? I mean, and we all saw what the kaijus did to Sydney, you know. Adam wasn't entertained by the Pacific Rim reference. I thought he'd get a little more. I thought he'd be the one who'd get the kick out of it. Okay, so we talked about.
I'm never a fan of destroying cities. Yeah, okay. Come on.
That's true. So we talked a little bit about that. I got it off. I just watched that episode because watching it on HBO Go, right? Somebody's HBO Go. But okay, I think we were, and I think we talked a little bit about it too. But I think most of us, and it, I may be wrong, but I know we said Pitch Perfect would definitely beat Mad Max. But I think we still didn't think Avengers would fall this far this quickly.
Yeah. And I think it fell because if the other one had been anything else other than Mad Max, but Mad Max is right in the sweet spot to steal viewers away from Avengers. And Avengers just didn't have the momentum. Like its second week fall was over 50, was like 58% too. Like its momentum is nowhere near what the first one is. You know, we've had seen this before, and it's the general consensus is it's not as good as the last few Marvel movies. So,
but I mean, it made, it already hit 1 billion in like 17 days or 19 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what's 1 billion for an Avengers movie? Like, that's nothing for an Avengers movie.
And did the 300 million in like 2 weeks, I think, here in the United States.
Yeah, so, but I mean, comparison, after 17 days, it is almost $100 million behind where the first Avengers was at after 17 days.
Yeah.
After 17 days, the original Avengers was at over 450 million, and Age of Ultron's at like 372, I think. So.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, we live in it's society. Everybody wants to see their movie like in the first week. And yeah, you're going to see those drops. You know, I expected it to be third place. But still, it makes 39 million. It makes what most people would be really happy to get on their first week on, and it did it on their third week.
Well, in May for a movie of that type, that's not a first week numbers. But I agree, third week, that's not terrible, and it's hard because we're painting it up against that first Avengers that we talked about last time. It was the first really of that kind of bringing all those heroes together successfully on one screen, and it shattered numbers. And with sequels nowadays, you never know if it's going to go up or it's going to go down. So those expectations were definitely up there.
Yeah. I mean, the expectations were obviously super high for it, but in the grand scheme of things, after, you know, 17 days, it's the 25th highest grossing domestic movie of all time. So yeah. I mean, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah. But the bad thing, you know, the thing about Hollywood is that, especially in summers, the movies just come out every week, and so movies just basically cannibalize themselves. So, you know, yeah, so every week you're going to have a blockbuster, you know. And this week, I mean, Pitch Perfect did almost $70 million. I mean, everybody expected it to do like 40 to 50, but not 70. I mean, that's Dark Knight Rises numbers right
there. So I don't know if y'all saw last night I posted on Facebook that I started the first Pitch Perfect. I tried to give it a go because people that I respect, their views on movies have even said it's good. And as I posted, who's not in love with Anna Kendrick? You know, you want to see a movie with her in it. But I couldn't even get a third of the way through it. And any movie that says I'm Dixie Chick serious is, yeah, no, no.
You're not exactly the target demographic, though.
No, you're not.
I understand, but I thought I'd give it a try because, like I said, a lot of people that weren't the target demographic ended up liking that first one.
You know, it's a cute movie. It's a cute movie. And the second one, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, it's basically the same movie. You know, it's a chick flick.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun set pieces in a not great movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of scenes in it, specifically like the singing competition scenes or the riff-offs that are these a cappella set pieces that are funny and clever and have cool music in them, but it's wrapped in the wrapper of a kind of terrible romantic comedy. Yeah. Like, the movie itself is not good, but people don't watch it because they love the movie. They watch it because, you know, they want to see Rebel Wilson say something funny or watch a bunch of white girls sing No Diggity in the bottom of the swimming pool. So
I tell you what really surprised me about it is just how, you know, the script, it's just the two announcers, I can't remember who plays the guy, but Elizabeth Banks is the female announcer for the acapellas, and
the guy from Best in Show movies and all that stuff.
Yes, right? Yeah. I can't believe how it just really just started going after people. It went after blacks, gays. I mean, it was very, at times, pretty racist. And
did you see the second one?
Yeah, I saw the second one.
Did you see every movie at the theater this weekend? You saw Mad Max twice, right?
Yeah.
And then you saw Pitch Perfect too.
I loved his, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not all of y'all were going to see it opening weekend, so I had to make sure I gave it its numbers for you, is what he's thinking.
I had to take the ladies. But yeah, I mean, it just got like, you know, you're sitting in the theater and you're just like, holy crap, I can't believe they said that. You know, it really.
Oh, so they're like going for pushing buttons factors.
Which is funny that you say that.
Because if you watch, fantastic comedies from 20 years ago, they didn't care who they offended. Nowadays, you have to watch out who you offend.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be a problem. So I don't know.
And it pretty much offends everybody. So it's like, you know.
Then there you go.
Like
fair
South
game.
Park?
Yeah. Yeah. And it puts it all back on a level playing field then.
And it's a very specific device that they use, because you see it in other movies where those two characters play very specifically, you know, dumb, uninformed, over the top characters who aren't characters in the show other than they're just commenting on things. So you can get away with a lot more when they're not like, you know, the protagonist or the antagonist or like a main character. Like it's an interesting device they use to get them to say just ridiculous things.
Yeah. And they did. So, but yeah, Mad Max, the other movie I saw this weekend, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Adam, you concur?
I think it was really good. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I went and saw it with my wife and one of our friends, and they were both very, very pleased with it as well. So I think it hits on everything, and it just really sells itself for what it is. It's not trying to be anything that it's not. It's unapologetic. It's, hey, these people are running, these people are chasing them. Cool.
You really don't get any downtime in it, I hear.
Here's some amazing stuff along the way, by the way.
It is a 2-hour chase movie. And by the time it's over, I mean, you have to sit there during the credits because you're trying to catch your breath. I mean, it is just nonstop action.
I'm excited. I'm going to see it in theaters for sure. I had lunch with the Greg Ron Geeks guys who will be with us this weekend at Denver Comic Con. One of the guys, just he saw it and I asked him about it. And then that's all he wanted to talk about at lunch. So I was like,
yeah,
all right.
It's
spoilers. No spoilers.
It is fantastic.
Well, and there's some very cool things. So, I mean, George Miller's back, obviously, from the original movies. And then the actor who played the antagonist in the first Mad Max is older. And mm-hmm. So he's actually the antagonist in this Mad Max as well. And that's...
Yeah, he was a toe cutter.
Different character, but same actor. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's amazing. You know, George Miller is like in his 70s and he produced this and he made this film that is just unbelievable. It's just, I mean, there's very little CGI in it. I think the only CGI is Charlize Theron's arm and just a couple, you know, the storm scene. Everything else is practical, special effects. Those wrecks are real. People flying are real.
People can fly?
You will believe a man can fly.
You'll see, buddy. You'll see.
Yeah.
I saw an article today that about Hugh Keyes Byron or whatever.
That's him. Yeah, that's him.
He was the villain in the original one. I didn't realize he was going to be in this one too. And they showed side by side pictures in the article I was looking at. And I tried not to read too much of it because I don't want spoilers. But I thought that was pretty cool that they brought him back for your villain role.
I tell you, I was really impressed with Nicholas Holt.
He does a great job in a totally different role.
Yeah, you know, you don't even recognize that he was Beast in X-Men last year in Days of Future Past. Just an absolutely bonkers performance, and I was really impressed with him. He's turning into one of my favorite new actors.
Cool. I'll have to look out for him because I didn't know. Aaron, are you going to sleep down there?
Wake up, Aaron.
I'm not sleeping.
Okay. So
well, I want to...
I'm just resting my eyes.
I have things to say, but you know,
say them.
Well, I mean, I'm excited for Mad Max. I hope to see it again.
You should, Tom Hardy,
for the first time.
Again,
for the first time. I mean, I hope to see it on Thursday night with Adam.
Oh yeah,
Tyler, you'll be my date. We'll go see it. We'll let all of them. Bob will go see it by himself 9 million times. Adam and Aaron and all the others will go see it. So we'll just be abandoned over here. We'll go on a date night.
Yeah. I mean, this is only the free night I've had till I think, I don't even know. After we get back from Denver, I think. So,
yeah.
Hi, Bob.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
So.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Avengers. The second Avengers, and I want to see what you guys think about this. So I think phase two, I think Dark World was better than the first Thor movie. Mm. I think you don't think so?
Disagree. Disagree.
Yes.
I gotta agree with
you.
I wasn't impressed with the second one.
I liked the second one a heck of a lot. I did, but I didn't think that it was better than the first. I mean, I thought it was probably right up on the same level, maybe.
There were some things about the second one. There were some things about the second one I really liked, but about halfway through the movie, I realized I literally could not care less about anything that was happening.
Like, exactly.
Like there was nothing. I don't know. I don't want to say heavy about it, but there was nothing that involved me in the story. Like there was nothing that's like I don't care how this ends. I don't
care
what
happens, point,
bad guy or the good guys or whatever.
And at that point, you feel like everything is tying back into the greater cinematic universe. And I didn't feel like that movie played too much of a role on it, you know? Like, it didn't – I know it had some, you know, deep pieces that were all connected.
It had one of the Infinity Gems. MacGuffin Man. I mean,
but every movie now has one of those. So it didn't feel like it has as much weight as, like, you know, the second Captain America or by then even the not-so-good third Iron Man. Like, all these other movies that now are putting more weight into, okay, I'm going to go see this other character's solo movie, and it's going to be affected by the things that happen over here. I don't feel like the second Thor gives you that, and so that's why I think I agree with Tyler, where I just don't feel like it wasn't giving me enough to say I'm investing in this bigger picture like everything else is making me.
Yeah. But back to Adam's main point, so phase two, he personally thinks Thor 2 better than Thor 1, but I guess you're going to compare the rest of phase 1 to 2 then?
Right, when you get all the way through it, so maybe not when you see Thor 2, but after, say, Guardians, and you've got a little bit more about the Infinity Gems and what they can do and everything like that, I think it does broaden the picture a little bit. But then you're looking at, I think, Iron Man 3. I certainly enjoyed 3 better than I enjoyed 2.
Yeah. Captain America. Like all of us did.
Yeah, Winter Soldier, I'd say, is better than the first Avenger. Not that the first Avenger was bad, but Winter Soldier was just that good. And then you also have, even though it's not perfectly within the canon yet, Guardians of the Galaxy, you had what I think are 4 or 5 very good movies, and all of them kind of getting better. And then I think we were set up for a letdown. I don't think there was any way Avengers 2, Age of Ultron was going to live up to kind of the idea that everybody had and the tide that was building. Because like you said, Iggy, we were starting to see some of those larger pieces. Everything was starting to feel larger and bigger and kind of crazier. And then it seemed like it kind of flipped. Age of Ultron almost seemed like a very specific pinpoint movie as opposed to this larger, bigger, grander scheme.
Maybe in a way to put it, like it feels like all the other movies like lobbed it in there for us and we were expecting the home run hit. And even though it was like an RBI double for us baseball fans, it still wasn't the home run, you know? So
yeah. Well, and it was harder to build towards an Avengers 2 because the only thing you had leading into Avengers 1 were, for lack of a better term, origin stories. So these people didn't have, other than Iron Man, they didn't really inhabit anything other than here's who these people are, just to get you a feel for it. Then we're going to throw them all together. Whereas Avengers 2, they've all had their own adventures. They've all done their own things now. Like, what's our excuse to like bring them back together again for something? And Ultron's a good call, but I don't know. I don't want to get upset about Avengers 2. It was really good, but I don't think there was any way that it was going to live up to expectations. I don't think it was humanly possible for anyone to make a movie that was going to, after what, like he said, after what Avengers 1 did and then what Phase 2 did, like Avengers 2 was doomed to not be the next best thing ever.
But right now, I don't think anyone at Marvel's really complaining.
No, they're making money, and the next everybody will run to see Ant-Man. Everybody will run to see the next one, including us. And I'm excited for what's ahead, and I'm excited for the next Avengers stories. Because honestly, I think even though this didn't hit the levels that first one, I mean, what everything that is happening is leading up to those last two Avengers movies that are announced so far.
Yeah, I'm really.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say I think I'm the only person who I don't know. I think I might get stoned for more than anything when I say I'm not that impressed with the Avengers, period. I never thought the first one was like that amazing in the first place. So I guess I didn't have any hype for the Age of Ultron. I just wanted to see it. And I was just kind of like, meh. I mean, it was good. I liked it. It was a good movie, but it's not anywhere close to what Guardians of the Galaxy was or, you know, any Batman movie ever. I mean,
I'm really kind of, like I said, they're just really building up Civil War. I mean, it's just turning into an epic. I mean, with all the people.
Really long miniseries.
It could of be. An epic.
But
I mean, it's got pretty much everyone from every movie in it, except for probably the Guardians of the Galaxy. But who knows if they're going to show up?
Well, they don't. They pretty much said they don't expect them to show up till later. So, Avengers, Pitch Perfect, touched on Mad Max for a little bit, but I mean, I think still enough of us haven't seen it, and probably enough of our viewers may have not seen it yet, or at least not seen it as many times as they want to. So we won't do too many spoilers.
Definitely go see it. Yeah, worth a watch.
It is. It is already, I think, the best movie of the summer.
So what I know, there's tons of other big things that have happened this past weekend, this week. Something right before we started recording, more set footage from
Suicide Squad,
and the Joker on set with the tattoos and everything. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's just promo. It's promo. Nope, on set with his Lamborghini that they showed a picture of.
Was
like
it a pink Lamborghini?
I don't even know. And now he's still got all the nasty tattoos and it's the problem is Jared Leto's like somebody that I totally could buy into playing the Joker.
Yeah.
And I think they're just killing it. They're just I feel like Marvel has a plant. Marvel has planted somebody at Warner Brothers to like destroy anything DC is doing movie wise. That's the only explanation.
They don't have to. DC has proven that they're more than capable of sabotaging themselves.
Nobody that has this successful of a company continues to make this bad decisions unless you're Sony. Nobody.
They're not that successful, though. Like, they've literally
Warner
made...
Warner Brothers?
They've made one successful movie... Two successful movie series. Like, I'm not saying Warner Brothers the company. I'm saying Warner Brothers Studios, who makes these movies, has made two... what I would consider big successful movie franchises in the last 20 years. Christopher Nolan's Batman movies and the Harry Potter movies. Name something else that's tentpole that's from DC that, I mean, from Warner Brothers, that was on the level at which it was expected to be on.
Almost anything that came from Legendary, but that's not even.
Grumpy
old man.
I don't give him credit for anything that Legendary
Grumpy
did,
old man. So. Bob's got one there. Is that in the past 20 years? Is
that?
I can't remember.
That's somewhere around. That's flirting with that line there. They, Warner Brothers is done all right as a studio. They're not a walking disaster.
It's not that they've done badly on everything. It's that they've had just numerous huge disappointments.
And they're about to have another one.
I have a feeling they are.
Yeah, I have zero faith that this movie actually gets done and makes any kind of money.
Oh, it's going to make money. People are going to, I mean, DC fans are going to see it, but.
Oh, not even DC fans. People who are on the Marvel bus right now. People that have, like, this is comic book entertainment on the big screen's a hit. People are still excited about Batman. Ben Affleck's been seen on set for the Suicide Squad, so you know you're going to have a Batman appearance or cameo at least. And, I mean, people are going to rush to see this. People are going to turn out in masses opening weekend for Batman versus Superman. Is it going to drop 50% or is it going to drop 90% second weekend?
Right, exactly. It might have a good opening weekend, but these movies aren't set up for a long run because they're going to be bad.
To be fair, it's like, no, but just to prove my point, to be fair, there are some good ones in here like Legendary, like some other ones. And then there's some stuff that you just make or you co-produce with someone else. But I'm just going to go, we're only going to go back 5 years. January 15th, 2010, I'm just going to start listing for you movies that have been released by Warner Brothers Studios. And I'm not going to, and not so much that they're successful, not successful, just that they're were not nearly as successful as you would have expected.
Tyler's stuck on this.
I'm saying
you, Warner Brothers.
Listen, Book of Eli, Edge of Darkness, Cop Out, Clash of the Titans, Splice,
Clash
Jonah
of,
X.
Hold on, let's stop. Clash of the Titans did
well.
Box office. It even got a sequel.
Bad
I thought
movie.
It sucked. It sucked.
Bad movie.
But it's real bad.
Yeah, it did over 100 million.
Okay, we're down to...
So here's one good one. It's a comic book. It's actually a DC one, but it's Vertigo. The Losers. I thought that was good. It didn't make a lot of money, but I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah.
Really good movie, but yeah, not a huge box office success.
But unsuccessful, yeah.
Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
That was a pretty good one, I think.
Flipped, Lottery Ticket, The Town, which is Legendary.
Oh,
yeah.
Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly.
That was actually a really good movie, and also Zack Snyder. So you know, Zack Snyder doing an adaptation.
I have a hard time saying that name.
Life as We Know It, Hereafter, Due Date, which was a big letdown for them box office wise.
Yeah. Which one was? Oh yeah, Due Date.
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah,
hilarious. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
And
then Harry Potter in November. Yogi Bear. The Right.
Yogi Bear was adorable. I loved it. Oh, didn't it have like that one guy Matthew Lillard playing Mike?
Nope. It had JD's brother.
It had
Scrubs.
He was good.
Hey, little brother.
And he does the Yogi Bear. Real good.
Dan Aykroyd did Yogi Bear.
I don't know.
Okay, Tyler, just keep going. Just ignore us. Keep going.
Hall Pass, Red Riding Hood. Sucker Punch, which was Legendary. Arthur, Something Borrowed. The Hangover Part 2. Green Lantern. Horrible Bosses. Another Harry Potter. Crazy Stupid Love. I'll give him that one. That was a really good movie.
You got to give him Horrible Bosses because that actually did pretty good on the box office. And it was
pretty
funny.
What about Harry Potter?
No, we already said Harry Potter.
We said besides Harry Potter and the Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
Final Destination 5. Contagion.
Wait. There was another Final Destination in the past few years?
I'm not convinced I'm not going to find another one when I keep going.
Okay.
Contagion, Dolphin Tale, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas.
Okay, wow. Dolphin Tale does not hit the demographic point for any of us, but that was another successful one from them.
Okay. Yeah.
It did good money-wise, and it the audience that it was going for liked it.
J. Edgar, which was a prestige piece that I think underwhelmed, I think most people.
Major underwhelming.
Happy Feet 2. New Year's Eve. Oh, I forgot a franchise. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. That one's
pretty sick.
But that's not legendary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was legendary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's Village Roadshow.
Oh, okay. Well, Village Roadshow.
Let's clarify. What is legendary? Because
I thought
he was overusing an actress.
No, legendary. Legend.
Wait for it. No, Legendary Pictures, which is now with Universal. They actually will Sin Copy, so Nolan's used to release in partner with Legendary. Anything Snyder's done, so even your Superman movie and even your Batman films technically were under the Legendary or in partnership with Legendary.
Because I remember now.
Action wise.
And Del Toro does a lot with them as well.
Yeah.
And it has that like Celtic knot emblem. I remember.
Yeah, yes. Kind of. And it's, but pretty much your big action directors over the past so many years that have been with Warner, it, even if they didn't do it through Legendary, Legendary had some role in it, at least as a production company putting money up.
All right. So now we're to the end of 2011. Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, which was another kind of award bait one that was, it was all right, but it wasn't what they expected. Joyful Noise. Journey to the Mysterious Island, starring The Rock. Project X.
Well, hold on, because we've gotten tons of great memes from Journey 2.
Okay.
So where The Rock's looking back in the car and
that's not Journey 2. That's the remake of Escape from Witch Mountain.
Oh, okay, whatever. It's all the same.
When he's driving the cab and he does that look behind him. That's the remake. Yeah, never
mind. The memes, and they have her saying something stupid in every meme.
And he does that look. Yeah, that was the remake of Witch Mountain.
It's the same thing.
All right. Project X, Wrath of the Titans, The Lucky Ones, Dark Shadows, which I think was probably a pretty big letdown. Chernobyl Diaries, Rock of Ages, Magic Mike, which did make a lot of money. Then we've got the Dark Knight.
It hit its demographic.
We got the Dark Knight Rises, so another legendary Batman movie. The Campaign, The Apparition, Trouble with the Curve, Argo. I will let them have Argo. That one was successful.
Argo yourself.
But I mean, you're listing a bunch of really good, like, I liked a ton of those movies.
Okay, what we're looking for, though, Aaron, is both hits the demographic, is a good movie, and successful at the box office.
Like, yeah, but who cares?
Even some of those, if some of those in there, like we mentioned, The Losers, really good movie that we all liked, but not a box office success. Or, you know, there was other ones we mentioned that were box office successes, but terrible movies.
So yeah. It just proves that Suicide Squad might be a really good movie, even if it's not a box office success.
No, that's Zack Snyder's going to be a box office success because it's a comic book movie and everybody's loving that right now. Box office success, I'm going to define as it won't be a bust. So it will make more than it costs to make. And I stand behind that now for both that and Batman versus Superman. They may suck horribly, and it's starting to look more and more that way. Coming from, of the five of us, your biggest DC fanboy on this group, I am saying that. However, both of those movies will make more money than it costs them to actually produce.
People like to see train wrecks.
Now I'm just trying to look for ones that I would say made money, were critically acclaimed, and like people liked.
Wait, we're not going to
legendary. No, I've got
everything from Warner Brothers for 5 years still.
I got bored of that. Okay, here we go. Here's one. This one made no money, but was critically acclaimed and I think had a really good life after, like on DVD and stuff. Edge of Tomorrow. That was fantastic. I'll let him.
How much do you have it? Are you? What are you looking at? Does it have it box office?
I'm just looking at every movie that has been released by Warner.
Okay, because I feel like did it bomb at the box office?
It didn't do very well
at the box office compared to how much money that was spent on it. Let me look.
Yeah, that had to be a few hundred million.
Budget was $178 million. It made $369 million.
See,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that
plus $200 million. I'll take that.
They doubled its numbers. I mean, I think
it made no money for being a $200 million movie starring Tom Cruise. I guess would be
Bob. You're gonna have to do something because you're doing your thing where you last podcast where you just disappeared.
Can you hear me now?
Yep,
we can hear you.
All right.
So I don't know. Okay.
Oh, I guess they made Mad Max, and that wasn't legendary. So a lot of them have Mad Max too.
I feel like though. That a lot of the movies you referenced as legendary, because legendary has done so good lately that they are legendary. So Aaron's interpretation of you just overusing that word could be correct. Because you also said, oh, there's another legendary Batman movie. And that was a true statement.
Yeah. Legendary's had some misses. It's fine.
I like being able to see all his faces because Adam definitely agreed with me on that Batman statement, even though he was muted the whole time. And seeing his reaction just on camera was pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, Legendary also released movies like, let's see, they did do that due date one, 300 Rise of an Empire, and that Dracula Untold movie, which was not good.
Adam, you took 300 from me, didn't you? Did you watch it?
I did.
What'd you think? I did.
It was just more of the same. I don't know.
Two words, Eva Green.
I got nothing bad to say about it, but I got nothing good to say about it. Somebody asked me, hey, can I borrow that? I'd say, you might want to pick something else.
Fair point.
Actually, you'd say, let me ask Iggy.
No, I bought it from him, Bob.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, it's not mine anymore. I didn't want anything to do with it after that. Even Eva Green couldn't save that movie.
I mean, she made it. She gave it her best.
she had a few strong cases going on through there.
She fought it out. And she tried.
She tried real hard.
I'll tell you what. There was something I saw last night that I wanted to bring up on the podcast just for sheer novelty value, because these are literally words that I never thought I would say, and I can guarantee I will never ever say again in my entire life.
I'm so glad we're recording right now.
I feel like we really need to talk about Taylor Swift's new music video.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, what? Yeah.
It is all what? Over. I have not even looked at it. I have not even given it.
Yeah, I saw it.
But it is all over social media.
For those aren't aware.
What's going on with it?
Last night was the Billboard Music Awards on TV. And during it was the world premiere of the music video for her new song, Bad Blood, her new single, Bad Blood, featuring Kendrick Lamar. Right. And it. Well, let me just list all the people who...
Who's Kendrick Lamar?
Kendrick Lamar?
Lamar. What song? Give me a song. I don't know.
Literally every song that's been popular in the last... If it's a hip-hop or R&B song in like 3 or 4 years, he probably has a part on it. I mean, his own
music makes me want to vomit.
He's like the featuring guy on everything.
Okay. Right now.
But it's this weird like mini movie... that's like a sci-fi action flick that has little homage stolen scenes inspired by things from everything from Tron to Kill Bill to Hunger Games, like this weird sci-fi action flick. And then it has all these cameos of people playing these quote-unquote characters in the movie. Just to give you an idea, Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, Jessica Alba, Lena Dunham, Hailee Steinfeld, Ellie Goulding, Hayley Williams, Cindy Crawford, Ellen Pompeo, Cara Delevingne, I can't ever say her name.
Never in a million years would I thought you said Cindy Crawford. I might actually watch this video.
Well, let me just give you like a little taste of it real quick, and then
Tyler, we need to find a meeting option that does not allow Tyler to just throw his feet up whenever he wants.
Just a tiny bit.
I want to see it.
No, this is Taylor Swift. Why are we even talking about Taylor Swift?
Because it sounds like a good video.
Why aren't we talking about? Didn't Kanye West get like censored last night on the?
Oh, he got censored huge.
Was he like swearing every other word, or was he just cutting people off?
It was like every other
stealing microphones.
Was swearing. I mean, it was like a beep. Oh, here we go.
Bob, we're gonna let you finish, but Taylor Swift video is on here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kanye, he did two songs in one song. I mean, it was just beep bleeped all the way through it.
What?
I'm cool for this. We can watch the video while we talk, and we're not hearing it at all. So,
yeah.
Although I did lose Adam. Where'd Adam go? He's not on my screen anymore.
He's busy watching Taylor Swift in her little outfit.
I like this. Wait, is she not wearing a top? Whoa, she is. What I like about this is there's not so much Taylor Swift, and she does look cooler.
There is a lot of Taylor Swift, and she looks like she acts about as well as, Jessica Alba, who you mentioned is going to be in here.
Oh, yeah, she's doing great. And I also love that it's muted. So good call there.
Yes.
And then Kanye, I guess he got booed during the whole there's Kendrick Lamar.
Is that Kendrick Lamar? I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him. Isn't that news reporter person? No, Carol Maddow?
No, Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, Rachel Maddow.
That was Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Cersei?
What?
Cersei Lannister?
The one who looked like Rachel Maddow?
There's Adam. There's Adam laughing at you.
She looks like Rachel Maddow.
I don't know about that.
Thank you for showing us. I may watch it
in its entirety and on mute in the future. I like the mute part.
Yeah. It's just constant cameos just being thrown at you.
I feel like I wanted to get friends. Oh, here we go. Here's the Tron part with what's her name? Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, why can't we hear it? Ew.
Oh, can you hear it now? I'm sorry.
Because Tyler wanted to hear it so badly.
No. Oh. The music video for Being Kind of Fun is the song is not good at all.
This is I'm guessing Hunger Games part right here.
Little Hunger Games S kind of thing.
Why is there a bulldog? And she was wearing some lingerie from Amazon.
She should put a bulldog.
Here comes some Fifth Element right here with Haley Williams here in a second.
I'm cool with Fifth Element. Home Slice.
I'm cool with Haley Williams.
I don't know who these people are. I must be so old that I don't even know. Like,
yeah, you're so old.
I'm so old.
Mother Trucker.
Oh, I'm just so out of the popular.
You're the youngest person on this podcast right
yes,
now.
Yes, I am. However,
there you go. There's Haley Williams. Channeling her inner Lilu.
Who's this Haley Williams person?
She's the lead singer of Paramore.
Paramore.
Oh, that's why I don't like her at all.
Paramore kind of sucks.
Yeah, they do.
Just going to put it out there.
These girls are like real skinny.
Although I'll take Paramore over Tyler Swift Taylor Swift any day.
Swift?
I'm not like
I feel like it's Tyler Swift right now.
I feel like they're doing a little lesbian action right now.
We have some Tron light cycle action right here.
I'm digging these motorcycles, yeah.
This is pretty neat.
This is a terrible part of our podcast right here.
Little Jisk Alba.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of everything for everybody here.
So a lot of B-rated like quality actors and singers.
I would say I don't get why this is blowing up.
Yeah, me neither.
Because there's all these famous
we go. Okay.
I mean, she is gorgeous.
Let's keep rolling now. Don't cut this out yet now. We got Cindy Crawford pull up on screen.
Oh, and then there's a little Expendables action here.
All right. Anyways, so fun times. Hey,
so what's everybody doing this week?
About Johnny Depp's dogs and Taylor Swift through the first half of this podcast already.
God, we sound like we're Entertainment Tonight.
We do need a break out to season 5 soon because we're running out of materials to talk about. Hey,
wait, Bob,
I got an answer for your question. Doing this weekend? We're going to be at Denver Comic Con on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, aka Memorial Day, hanging out at booth 253.
I will be.
Hey, I think I might join you.
Awesome. I think all of y'all should come.
Okay.
Hooray.
Hooray.
We all get a fight for that one chair in your living room there.
Yep. If we release any of these video clips, my lawn chair, it's a lounger. Yep. It's a lounger too, so it's very comfy. You get to kick back a little.
Well, I just called dibs, so.
And you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if Adam helps get my TV out here, I can't really tell him no on the dibs, I guess. So.
And I have a surprise for everybody this weekend.
What is it?
I am not going to say. You'll have to see.
You can't. No, you can't just tease about a surprise and then
Yes, I can.
No, that's not how it works.
Can you eat it? Because if you
that
can
is
eat it,
how you, yes. How it works. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that that's how it's done.
You could try to eat it. Might be interesting.
We bought your wife a gift. That's going to be here tomorrow, by the way. And I haven't told her what it is yet.
Hooray.
I said yet, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. All right. So Aaron asked if you can eat it. Can we eat it, Bob?
No.
Can
but
we
he said
watch
we could
it?
Try to.
Can no. we watch it?
Well, you could watch it, but you can't watch it.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
It is bigger than a bread box.
Is it bigger than a dog?
Yes.
A regular sized dog.
Yeah, wait, because
a regular sized dog.
Because
like 50 pounds.
So
50 pounds is about regular.
Define dog. Toy, Dachshund, or German Shepherd, or Great Dane. Like,
is it
bigger than a toy Dachshund?
So is it bigger than a TV?
No. Depends on what size TV.
Again.
I'm just going to keep picking things that are variable in size.
Tell us what it is, Bob. I can't wait.
Bob is going to be tooling around the convention.
Oh, yes. Are you on a cart? Are you going to be on a cart, Bob?
Woo!
Yes, so we need to make sure we have the handlebar clamp for the GoPro.
Okay, yeah, I'll dig through my stuff and find it.
Did you get a knee scooter?
Yes. Okay. If I don't have it here, all the stuff that Tyler's got that he's bringing out for the convention, the the clip that we need for the GoPro is either in my stuff or in the bin, one of the bins at Tyler's house. So we will have.
So we will attach it onto the handlebars.
Is it something we can all share? Because I see people scooting around on those things, and I get real jealous.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I thought she was asking like she didn't know what
she still didn't know what it was. Actually, I was actually thinking about
cosplay. Bob, is it bigger than a car?
I was actually thinking about cosplaying with it, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to try to see if I can deck it up and make it look like Pee-wee's bike.
Oh, yeah.
And then have the suit and everything, or get a red hoodie in a basket and put ETs in the basket.
I would rather see you in Pee-wee's suit.
Both of those.
I would love to do
Pee-wee's. It's a three-day show. You can get both. Three-day show, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Just having to figure out what to put together on that.
You'll be allowed to not be in Project Nerd clothes if you can wear Pee-wee Herman's suit. Like, I'm totally cool with that.
Fat Pee-wee Herman. But anyways, hey, I'm kind of, like I said, I'm pretty excited about Denver Comic-Con.
Denver Comic-Con and then Omaha Comic-Con right behind it, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Comic-Con.
We're going to be worn out.
Right?
I am a little disappointed, though, because Doc Brown, Christopher Lloyd is not going to be at Denver.
I know. They had a bunch of big cancellations, and I feel like they waited to last minute. Not to knock on Denver Comic Con or anything, because we do love the show, but it seemed very like, oh, by the way, here's these cancellations that all happened.
You know, two years ago, Stan Lee, like a week before, but they got William Shatner to replace him. So I was always expecting Denver to pick up someone else, and they picked up a couple that were from Once Upon a Time, the guy that plays Robin Hood, and but anyway, I don't watch it.
I'm excited for the Weird Science reunion, though.
It's that
Saturday night, I think.
I am
excited for Gwendolyn Christie.
But they still – don't we still have like – so they've announced her. They've announced who all – they've announced a lot of – they've announced three or four people, right, for it. But they said there's still going to be one more mystery guest.
For Weird Science?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking that she was the mystery guest, but maybe there is a real mystery guest. I don't know.
Not much of a mystery guest if they announced her already.
Well, but maybe they're, I don't know.
They're doing surprises like you, Iggy.
Yeah.
And we have a surprise guest. I can't wait, though. I'm just going to tell you what it is.
Hey, not just like me. Bob just told us his surprise, too, so.
Yeah.
Anyways. Denver Comic Con will be awesome.
There's a lot of fun ones this year.
Yeah.
We got, two Firefly alums. Amy Acker, Patrick Warburton, who's awesome.
Yeah.
You had a chance for Amy Pond and Rory to be there, but what's his name canceled also. It was on the cancellation list also. So that would have been pretty cool to get your picture taken with Amy and Rory.
Yeah.
I might have passed out if that happened.
Sean Astin. I don't know.
Yeah. Sean Astin's going to be in Kansas City Comic Con too.
I think – Yeah, and for us and for our content-wise, Denver Comic-Con, we never do really the celebrity interviews or spend much time over
there.
Watch
out. You got to get those signs that say no photography.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, the cancellations weren't that big of a deal. And like you said, there's still big names to draw for people there. The fact is that, once again, it's a sold-out show. We're talking in the high 80,000s in terms of people there. The floor is huge. If y'all have looked at the map, they've, again, I would say at least another 50 to 60% increase on Artist Alley once more.
How much bigger is that convention center? Good grief.
Well, just think of all that open space, like where like Artist Alley is more compact and tighter and then runs deeper, and they've even opened it further back over there. So it's much bigger. And we're at booth 253, which is in the open space across from the convention exclusives and right next to Artist Alley. So I think we're in pretty good spot. Which is going to be great, because if you are in Denver listening to this on Friday, you're going to see us next weekend. Yeah, Adam's going to be working deals on that booth, because we're going to be clearancing out some of our shirt inventory, some of our styles of shirts. So definitely, after you overpay for that convention exclusive shirt on the booth across the area, come on over and underpay for some awesome Project Nerd gear.
Come see me. We'll be wheeling and dealing.
Do we have any more dead eyes?
We have, yeah, we have tons of dead eyes, and we also have the X-Force, or was it, what did we call it? What did we name it? Because we didn't call it X-Force.
The Dead Force
variant, is that what it was?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I might have to pick one of those up.
No, they're nice shirts. You guys come see me. We'll do something good for you. Don't worry.
And does Erin have her own booth this year?
No, Denver Comic Con doesn't do cosplay guests.
Yeah, because I mean that would be just stupid.
Although they were kind enough to it's a large group of volunteers, and they do have people now employed because of the size of the convention. And really impressed with the person who's running the exhibitor services. He's a really nice guy and has been extremely helpful for us. The Denver Comic Con cosplay group kind of runs as a separate entity within it. And last year we shared an image in like the Denver cosplay groups and all that kind of stuff, and it had the logos on there for promoting us being at the event. And the woman who runs that like private messaged me and like threatened us and everything if we didn't edit those images and all that stuff. It was ridiculous. Well, she decided to email us this year because I guess Project Nerd's a big enough deal that it wants us to sponsor some of the cosplay contest stuff. I'm like, I guess you don't remember our conversations about a year ago. I'm going to have to say no. No.
We're going to do it, but we won't share the image.
No. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Can't share those images, you know? Anyways, speaking of sponsoring a cosplay competition, the weekend behind it at O Comic Con in Omaha, Council Bluffs, we will be sponsoring that cosplay competition. And Erin, along with Nightmage, our good friends Nightmage and April Gloria, will be judging that competition. So that'll be fun.
I don't even know. It's like the coolest thing ever.
Who's hosting? Possibly some of us here on the screen. I think we're probably going to be more involved.
All four of us would make it. We could do a podcast and host at the same time.
Yeah. We could have one of us host while the other three do like ESPN The Ocho commentary. So some.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how
we could always do a riff.
Of course, there is the red carpet beforehand, so we'll be getting some behind the cosplay and some video content on the red carpet before the competition starts.
Do we have our tuxes? Who are you going to wear?
We're not going to do that now because they got a local the local television station's going to come out and do that stuff. So we're just going to grab some behind the cosplay and do our thing. But
what am I going to do with my $3,000 dress?
I don't know. Sorry, you're going to have to save it.
For the next
Oscars.
You didn't even pay for it. Tyler said he was buying it for you if you'd wear it, so you didn't even pay for it.
I said I would buy a slinky dress.
So we are also hosting the official after party on Saturday night of O Comic Con in Omaha at House of Loom. So if you're in costume, you get a free drink. If you have your O Comic Con pass badge, I don't know if they're doing wristbands or badge, whatever it is, you get in for free.
Wait, let's clarify for those people who don't have video. Did you say House of Lube as in KY jelly or House of Lube as in like
First of all, why does video change what I said?
I don't know.
Right.
Cuz they can read lips, I guess.
I don't think so.
I'm so
it's funny because you say the video thing, so it makes it seem like was I making a gesture for House of Lube? Was I making
House of Lube
appropriate hand? Your hand. You were weaving.
It is House of Loom, LOOM.
So let me get this straight. It'd be like if I were weaving a tapestry.
House of Weaving.
House of Loom. It's a fairly popular a nightclub establishment in downtown.
So those people in Omaha will know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, actually, yes.
Without the video.
Correct. Without the video and our gestures make we were saying House of Lube. But it was House of Lube.
I wish I could hear it without the video. I don't want to see any of those gestures.
There were no gestures. This is a clip we're going to put on the YouTube to promote the video coming to season 5. That's right. I don't know. I'm pretty excited for the after party. We'll do some mini cosplay competitions too, since we're encouraging people to come out in costume. I didn't know if it, you know, it's a nightclub scenario, so I didn't know if like sexy cosplay was appropriate. But then I know like, will that make some people angry in the costume community? Or even better, do we even give a shit if we make people angry? Yeah,
you know what?
I don't know.
Come
to the House of Loom to find out.
Seriously.
Can we do a wet costume contest?
Yes. How wet can you look?
It's the House of Lube. We can do whatever we want.
I'm going as Aquaman. I'm going to win.
Wrestling.
You're going to look so wet, Adam.
So wet. You're so wet.
Wet and wild.
So wet right now.
Tyler's just kicking back and enjoying the show.
I've checked out now. So
This got real weird. Yeah.
It's all right. Tyler and I will see Mad Max in between our time at Denver Comic Con and O Comic Con. So at the House of Lube, we'll be able to speak to Mad Max a little bit better.
Yeah, really.
We got to go see, the Poltergeist movie. It comes out this weekend too, you guys.
Yeah, we'll go see that Friday or Saturday.
We got to find some time to play The Witcher 3 as well.
Sweet awesomeness. I just found three sweet tarts that were stuck in my box here. I didn't even know I had sweet tarts left. I'm pretty excited right now.
Get those out of your box. I
have sweet tarts left in my sweet tart box.
So it's funny, we were talking about earlier, because we're about to wrap it up, but we keep talking about Mad Max, and then we were earlier talking about DC and Suicide Squad, and then obviously the Justice League or Dawn of Justice or whatever. Does anyone remember how we almost had a Justice League movie directed by George Miller?
Yes.
Back in 2007. It was cast, it was in production, they'd built sets, were rehearsing, and then we had a writer's strike and they were filming it in Australia and some like tax incentive stuff had changed and the budget went up and they canceled it. Then Dark Knight came out a year later and they're like, we don't want to put Batman in an ensemble right now. But can you even imagine that? Because it was going to be like Justice League Mortal. It was going to be like on the house, like a Tower of Babel kind of story with really young like Batman and really young Superman and Flash and Wonder Woman and Clean.
And they had the Atlantis was one of the sets that they released photos.
Because they had Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, Talia al Ghul. But they were like filming it. I mean, they're not filming, but they were like rehearsing, building sets and stuff. And then all of a sudden it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Is it too late to get him back in charge and running the other one?
Yeah. Let's just get rid of Zack Snyder and
I'm going to let y'all finish. But Zack Snyder is like the best adaptive director ever.
I don't know about that.
Okay, wow, yeah. Got really quiet.
False.
Is that a cutting point?
You're in love with him, and
no. I have lost all hope for the DC universe on the screen. But
what are we talking about, man?
We were talking about the Justice League movie that failed. I think we had about wrapped that up. So we were gonna go back to Denver Comic Con because I want to ask, what was everybody's favorite moment from last year, Denver Comic Con?
It was probably when I was sitting here, not able to go.
And, you weren't sitting there, not able to go. You were buzzed an entire weekend in North Carolina.
That was two weekends and the week in between. So, yes. But, yes. My favorite weekend was definitely sitting on the beach, having some beer.
Anyways, the rest of y'all.
And going out, yeah.
Do you really have to ask what my favorite
I want you to say it right after Adam just did his little thing right there.
Best story.
I know which one's your favorite, but tell us the other one that would make second favorite.
Oh, you mean Max Brooks? But it doesn't mean anything anymore because he got to see Max Brooks.
He got to meet
Chicago.
Him. He didn't get to sit down and interview him. He didn't get to sit down and interview him like Bob got to in Denver last year.
And ask him about his life. Everything, yeah. If only you were there, you could ask him those questions.
The heartbreak is real, you guys.
The heartbreak is real. The pain is real.
Aaron, did you have a favorite moment last year from Denver Comic Con?
From Denver Comic Con?
That would be the show this weekend, so we're kind of talking about it, yes.
Gosh.
Being told you were hot by Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, thank you. That was
Walter Jones also hitting on you.
You had gave a good me a hug there. And squished my ear holes. That was a little bit too much. My ear holes, so you know how I have my ears gauged and I had soft ones in, and he thought my earrings had fallen out, and I was like, no, they're just clear soft ones, and then he squished my ear holes.
That was Walter Jones, not Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Power Ranger, and he gave me a hug, and it was a little bit too much, maybe, but...
No.
To see him again.
I wish he would give me a hug and squeeze my ankles. Yeah.
Well, it was a little much. I think my favorite part of Denver Comic Con, to be honest, was dressing as Deadpool. It was a lot of fun. I love dressing as Deadpool, and I think I should bring it back.
You did Ash really well, and Bruce Campbell. You took a picture with him as Ash Williams. That was
cool. He did say, "By the way, that's hot," just like that.
So who are you dressing up as this weekend?
I'm going to do Catwoman, for sure. And then I would really like to be a Project Nerd employee and wear Project Nerd Blue stuff, but probably since I'll have some pink hair. I mean, just myself might be, you know, and since I don't have like a booth or anything, like I'll just dress what I want, you know, I'll do what I want.
Ooh. Tyler, your favorite moment from Denver last year?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I'm trying to come up with what was really cool.
You got to kind of chill out with some creators that podcast
we did a lot speak. Of, yeah, we had podcast speak. We did a lot of really interesting interviews. The people who made the Supergirl fan film were really cool.
That thing was is it Woman of Steel or what is it called again? I have it on
Girl somewhere. Of Steel. Was it Girl of Steel?
Something like that. It was a good short fan film. Yeah,
fantastic. We did. Who else did we talk to? The guy who made the crazy exploitation movie with zombies and bowling and strippers and stuff like that. We talked to the Stubby Shillelaghs, the band. We talked to a bunch of comic creators, a couple writers. There were some really cool people there. We got to see Jesse and all the guys from Crit Success again. We hadn't seen them in a year. I mean, we saw them there 2 years ago at their very first con ever, and then they were back.
Has anybody mapped it out? Are they there again this year?
I was just thinking about that because I was going to
say they want to come back every year because, like you said, it was their first one and they had a really good show. So they don't do a lot of conventions. I know they said they do, of course, their local one in the DC area, the Baltimore ones, but and then Gen Con, but it seems like Denver's a big one for them.
Because I was going to send Jesse an email and see if they wanted to sit down and do an interview since we did one their first year and we haven't done one. Did we do one last year?
We didn't. No. And they have the new, the chainmail?
The fuzzy bags.
Dice bags. Fuzzy.
The opposite of fuzzy.
I don't know. Anyways.
I imagine them being fuzzy because that would be more fun. But okay. They're made of chainmail. And and they're supposedly the
which
most
is often associated with being fuzzy.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they're supposed to be the most durable dice bag that there is. I mean, people put their dice in, like, plastic boxes that break and stuff, and they're just pointless. And they put them in fuzzy bags, but those rip.
Oh, whoa. Nobody's paid for sponsorship on this podcast yet, so let's calm down a little bit.
I'm sorry. I freaking love my dice ring. Those I love my cool. D20 ring, and I would like a dice bag, even I though think, I don't
like. One of my highlights – it was definitely getting to eat at Katie Mullen's again. Love that Irish pub downtown.
Yes.
But also the podcast panel with, I think there's about four other podcasts on there. So really good. And thanks to you listeners, we were invited to be a part of that panel and things have only gotten better since. So with
Are we
May.
Doing any panels this year?
Not in Denver this year. We will be doing a bunch of panels right behind there in Omaha. Denver, I think with me moving, I know some of y'all you're getting ready for move and a lot of changes and there's been graduations on our staff and stuff like that. I don't think there's been time to try to coordinate really much for just other than setting up and doing our norm at Denver Comic Con, doing our content to make sure we get all of you great content for the site, but also, of course, setting up the product for our shirts to be available to Denver. And I didn't mention the move, so we are now Denver local. That's this right here behind me is in Denver. So next time, because Denver Comic Con's the one where we get like so many people come up. Are you guys local now?
Yes, we are.
Yes. So we're excited to be here, but yeah, no panels. Comic Con, we will be hosting probably more panels than we are moderating, more than we have committed to at this point. So Tyler, be ready for that. I do know we are hosting the cosplay Q&A that I believe takes place Friday afternoon, sexuality and cosplay, which takes place Saturday midday. And then we are hosting our podcast panel. Some of us will be on it, but we're also going to be including members from, the Worst Comic Podcast Ever.
Yes!
Those guys are awesome.
Another one that's based out of Omaha. I can't remember what it's called. Hold on. The Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast is the other one out of Omaha. They own one of the bigger comic stores there too. So they actually do the podcast out of their comic book store. if I remember correctly. And then I think it'd be pretty cool to get one of the members from our new podcast, Modern Sex, on there as well.
Woo!
It'd be pretty neat.
Who would that be?
I was thinking Dr. Beth.
Yes, clearly. She's the far well,
Aaron,
better
Aaron, one. You're going to be in like all those other cosplay panels, so.
Yeah, but Dr. Beth is clearly more exciting than me.
Somebody has an inferiority complex.
I mean, Aaron, I don't know if you're going to have enough enough panels to talk about later for the rest of our podcast for next.
That's true. Good call.
Awesome. So two busy weekends ahead for us. Excitement. All right. So as we start to wrap things up, I know we've talked about a lot of things, but we said there's so much more going on. Any big topics from last week, this week, anything that we're missing?
I know we talked about it because we skipped a week. We talked about it amongst ourselves on Messenger, but on the upfronts, who checked out the Supergirl trailer?
Oh, Supergirl trailer and the Gem in the Holograms trailer. I mean, if we already talked about smuggling dogs in Australia and Taylor Swift, we might as well talk about two of the, you think the Joker tattooed up looks terrible. How about the Devil Wears Prada TV show that they're calling Supergirl? Goodness. 6.5 minute trailer and 5 minutes of this like romantic comedy story. And then at the last minute, they're like, oh crap, we forgot to put some action in here.
You know what the funny thing is did anyone watch the sketch they did on SNL a couple weeks ago?
Yes, with Black Widow?
Like literally, I mean, I'm assuming this trailer was made before that sketch came out, because otherwise it looks like they literally like, oh, what are all these terrible cliches that SNL made fun of? We should make that actual trailer. Like,
yes!
Flustered and carrying coffee and wearing, I'm plain looking because I wear glasses and have a ponytail, and an attractive man is talking to me, so I've now forgotten how to English. And
you know what? If you were a lady, you would know exactly what that's like. I think you guys are just being super
I'm not saying that these are not real things and that they're not, but they literally took every single cliche that you could possibly use from a, you know, coming of age, female driven romantic comedy and smashed them all into a 2 minute span. Straight up with the Devil Wears Prada boss and the I'm a flustered person.
She did some superhero stuff in the last.
The superhero stuff was fantastic.
Trailer.
She also lives in this giant ass studio apartment that no one who's delivering coffee to people's desks is going to be able to afford, which is a total sitcom go to.
I don't know what the rates go for in her fictitious city.
It must be rent controlled. I don't know. Metropolis has rent control. But there's literally a scene in the trailer where a guy tells her to like shut up and go get people's coffee. Like it was just. It was cringingly cliche.
Yeah, but that's what happens in real life.
I'm not saying it's
realism.
There's realism, and then
I think I'm going to love this trailer. I think I'm just going to be the only one who's just going to watch it and love it.
You're going to be the only one in the entire world. Not to mention the Gem and the Holograms trailer, which, by the way, my favorite. Awesome. Although two fantastic memes, I always bring up the memes, have come out of it. The one where Gem is crying into the mirror of the cartoon Gem is crying into the mirror, and in the mirror is the movie Gem. And then the other one is from Jurassic Park, where Dr. Malcolm's tapping on there and is like, is there going to be dinosaurs on this tour? And like, is there actually going to be holograms in this Gem and the Holograms movie?
So at some point you'll actually have like dinosaurs and things, you know?
Yeah. So I wanted to point out that I brought up the Gem and the Holograms trailer. I think to Aaron here in the past week or so, and she kind of defended, it's Gem and the Holograms. What were you expecting? And I'm like, well, I understand that the target audience was definitely girls with the cartoon. I mean, kids in general, but the comics and the cartoon just definitely didn't have this feel that the movie trailer is pushing out. Even worse, they have rebooted the comic to prepare people for the movie that comes out this fall. And the comic is nothing like the movie trailer that was released. It looks terrible. Every single person I know, male and female, that has at some point crossed paths with Gem and the Holograms, whether it's read the comics or watched the cartoon religiously or just saw it in passing, was disappointed with this trailer. That's all I have to say. So terrible. Terrible.
Fair enough.
This makes Ant-Man look like it's going to be the next Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did you?
Of course.
Obviously, as we mentioned many a times over, join us at Denver Comic Con this weekend, booth 253. Come find our shirts. We have all shapes and sizes and all styles in stock right now. A number of our shirts will be on clearance as we're clearing out. We're going to call it our summer clearance event. So Adam's the main man at the booth, although you'll probably see many of our faces there. But we'll all be working deals for you. So shirts at discounted rates. If you've noticed, the online store has already closed as we're getting ready to change some of that. Of course, the following weekend at O Comic Con, you can come see us out in Council Bluffs right next to Omaha. We will be set up at booths P1 and P2. So right when you walk in the door to the right, we're working on having a special setup for photography there. Any special notes on our way out?
Well, you didn't leave me any time to talk about the absolute train wreck that is Konami Entertainment right now.
Because you complained about it the last three podcasts already.
It's a huge, I mean, the stuff that's going on with them is ridiculous. And it just keeps going. So, yes, I've complained about it the past 3 weeks because every week they do something that I'm like, these people don't want to make any money ever.
Adam, I think we'll all be together next weekend here in Denver, and we're going to try to set up to get our next week's podcast. We'll make sure we'll set aside some time for you to rant, rave, and
I'm going to have to try to calm down between now and then. I don't know if it's possible.
You'll be on a convention high, so you should be at least a little bit of positive energy rolling through you. So, and with that, of course, please don't give us that feedback. You give us feedback on our new audio and our new setup. And as we start to release video clips, what you think about season 5 heading towards the direction of video. Other than that, like I said, we'll catch you at these conventions, but we'll also catch you next week, which I think will be our last episode for season 4 as we get ready for a new era with season 5.